Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt.
That is how I like to spend my summer, just by the ocean. Well, we are coming into the last kind of 2 weeks of summer for a lot of us, and I thought it would be good to just spend a little time this week and next sort of giving ourselves an opportunity to reset spiritually before we head back to the craziness that happens every fall. So that's what we're going to do this week and next. We're going to spend some time just doing some thinking, some listening, some observing of what God is up to. So there is a psychological phenomenon called selective attention. Selective attention. Selective attention is what enables us to focus on what we deem is most important when there's a lot going on all at once. So selective attention is what allows parents of small children to just kind of tune out the loud, normal child noise when they're having a conversation, right? So they can have a conversation, they've selectively tuned into their friend, and they're just ignoring the normal sounds of children yelling and playing. There's an example of this that some of you may have seen of a selective attention test. It's a video commercial about looking out for cyclists in London. The video has a group of people wearing white and black clothes while passing a basketball around. Selective attention is what enables you to ignore what one team is doing when you're asked to count the number of times the other team is passing the ball back and forth. So in this example, you're going to be asked to count the number of times the team in white passes the ball. So watch this video and see if you can focus in on how many times the white team passes the ball.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
Okay, how many passes did the white team do? 13. Okay, let's keep watching and see if we were right.
The answer is 13.
Good job.
But did you see the moonwalking bear?
No!
So for any of you who hadn't seen this video before, did anyone see the moonwalking bear the first time? No, I didn't either. The first time I watched this video, I did not see it because I was selectively attending to how many times the white team was passing the ball. Our brains were helping us to ignore everything else and just focus on how many passes the team in white made. We didn't notice anything else. Even a person dressed in a bear costume moonwalking across the screen. We missed that. When we utilize selective attention, we can miss unusual, even outrageous sights. Now, if you've ever scared a coworker in the office when you've gone in to get their attention because they were so focused in and they jump when you say their name, or if you've tried to get the attention of a child who's watching television, you've observed some of the downsides, maybe, of this practice and phenomenon of selective attention. Selective attention is a good thing because it helps us focus. But it can also be a bad thing because it can cause us to miss other cues, right, about what's happening around us. When I have a busy season or a stressful season, I see myself utilizing selective attention, right? My thoughts are consumed with getting through the next project, figuring out the big problem, just making it through this tough or busy season. It happened when we moved here from Illinois 2 years ago. Everything in my brain was focused on packing, finding a place, getting us moved out here. That was all I could focus on. It happens when we have a holiday, like a birthday or Christmas that comes up. I get laser focused in on the next thing, and I actually have trouble noticing anything but the thing that's consuming my mind. When I get laser focused on projects, on seasons, on problems, I notice that my thoughts generally go to like really practical issues. Where's the checklist? When will I accomplish it? When will I be able to make everything happen when it needs to happen? I get consumed with what I think I need to accomplish. And I kind of lose sight of what's happening around me. I lose sight of like what my family might be feeling. I lose sight of what I'm feeling. I become hectic. And I definitely lose sight of maybe what God is up to around me. This happened to me this past week. At the last minute last week, something came up that would take up most of my time for the next couple of weeks. I had to shift meetings, childcare, all of our plans. And this past week, I have been laser focused on getting done everything I think I need to accomplish in the time I now have left. And so I kind of stopped thinking about, oh, what's God up to in this situation? What might God be doing? I forgot about, you know, how I've seen God move before. I forgot about how I've seen him answer big prayers when I'm stressed. I snapped into selective attention. My selective attention was not on what God might be up to. If you've had a season like this, you know, when we get busy, when we get stressed, it's easy to lose sight of God at work. It is easy to lose sight of God's presence in our lives. It's easy to lose sight of our main purpose for existence, which is to be a reflection of God's love and justice in our world. That's what happens to us very often in busy seasons. And honestly, I think that can be true of us in just kind of boring seasons too, right? When we're just doing the thing, the daily grind, work, friends, home, church, sports, whatever. We just kind of get lost in the monotony of the routine, and we forget that we are part of a bigger story. We are part of God's plans for this world. Now, this all was certainly true of Moses and the people of Israel. At the time the book of Exodus was written, where we read from today, it had been 400 years from the time that God had spoken last to Jacob. So 400 years have passed since the last time anybody heard God's voice, at least what we have recorded in the Bible. So things were going pretty well initially for the people of Israel in Egypt, right? So Jacob's sons, the 12 sons, came to Egypt during a famine. Joseph was there working, and they ended up staying there, and they settled in Egypt. They lived, they thrived, they had families, they settled down, their people grew in number. But eventually, as the people around them, the Egyptians, noticed that they were thriving, that they were growing in number, they started to get a little bit worried about this group of people that had kind of come in from outside and was growing and growing. And so the people of Egypt decided to enslave the Israelites. Exodus 1 says, though, that even though the Egyptians oppressed them and enslaved them, God was still blessing them. They continued to grow in number. But the work they were forced to do was hard. They cried out to God. The writer of Exodus knew that God heard their cries. The writer of Exodus knew that it was God that was with them all along, continuing to bless them. But I wonder if the people of Israel felt like God was with them. They hadn't heard him speak. Exodus 2 tells us they have been crying out to God. The text says that God heard them, but they didn't know that. They didn't know God was concerned about them. All they knew was how hard their lives were. Let's think about Moses. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's palace. The text says that he did notice how hard things were for his people. He knew he wasn't really an Egyptian. The text tells us that he was paying attention to how hard things were. He cared about it. He had a strong sense of justice. So much so that the injustice of oppression led him to murder an Egyptian. This put his own life in jeopardy, and so he ran. He ran into the desert and lived in Midian. He ran away. He was gone from Egypt for 40 years. The injustice of his people's oppression, his people's enslavement, it just sat with him for 40 years with no apparent word from God about what to do about it. And in the daily grind, I kind of wonder if he began to think that maybe God wasn't really at work. Like the oppression of his people had maybe escaped God's notice. And so Moses put his head down, put away the first 40 years of his life, his princely upbringing, his education, his elevated status, and he became a shepherd. That was a very different standard of living. And for 40 years, every day, he tended sheep. He focused on his family. He learned to be a shepherd and survive in the wilderness. I would imagine that Moses would have assumed that this is what the rest of his life would look like, that he would live out the remainder of his days in obscurity. I wonder if we ever feel like this. Like this right now is as good as it's going to get. Like this right now is what it's going to be like forever. We just keep our heads down, focus on the daily grind. And do we ever get so focused on the day-to-day routine of our lives that we forget to look out for what God might be up to in our lives? Do we ever feel like every day is going to be just like the one before? All the same stresses, struggles, routines. Take the next step at work, maybe meet the right person, enroll the kids in the next opportunity, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. This is where Moses was when suddenly God showed up. Exodus 3:1 says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." Moses was at work. He was doing what he did every day, taking his sheep around the mountain. Horeb was called in Scripture the mountain of God in the Old Testament. We see several places here where the people of Israel meet with God at this mountain. It is here in this passage at Mount Horeb where Moses first sees God. It's where God provided water from a rock for the people later. It's also where the Ten Commandments were given to the people of Israel. It's where they set off from when they made their journey to Canaan. But here, at the first mention of this mountain in the Bible, Moses saw a strange sight. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. Now, fire is a pretty common manifestation of God in the Bible, of his presence. So God appears here in a burning bush. God leads the people of Israel through the desert in a pillar of fire. In the New Testament book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is seen on the disciples as tongues of fire. So Moses sees fire, and he decides to have a look. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." Moses is an observant guy. He's curious. Several times in the first few chapters of Exodus, we read that Moses sees something, watches something, notices something. And we see here that Moses, although he has been in the desert for 40 years in the daily grind of being a shepherd, has apparently continued to be on the lookout for strange sights. He has apparently not been so consumed with his daily tasks at hand that he's unable to notice something that he wasn't looking for. He has continued to pay attention to what's happening around him. And it's a good thing, too, because the text here says that it's because Moses noticed and was curious that God spoke to him. That's what the text says in verse 4. When the Lord saw that Moses, he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." So it wasn't until after Moses allowed himself to be interrupted that God spoke to him. Not until Moses noticed, paused, investigated, paid attention, did God speak. If we feel like we haven't heard from God in a while, if we realize we've disconnected from him, from his plan for the world, from our lives, there might just be a lesson for us here. Sometimes, seeing God at work simply requires us to pause and observe. Sometimes, to see God at work, we just need to pause and observe. Moses paused and observed, and then God spoke. Now, the timeline of that is important. It's telling us something. It's reminding us that if we want to see God at work, if we want to hear from God, if we want to notice what God is up to, we need to be on the lookout for any evidence that he is calling to us and then take time to pause and observe. If we want to see God at work, we have to pay attention. Like the video said, it's easy to miss what we're not looking for. Now, you might be saying, okay, it was easy for Moses to pay attention. What else did he have to look at? And it was a bush that was on fire and not burning up. Fair enough. Maybe there haven't been any literal burning bushes in your life. But I wonder if we paused to observe, if we might see anything that's a little bit like a burning bush in our lives. What out of the ordinary experiences or interactions we might notice if we paused to pay attention. James 4:8 says, "Come near to God, and God will come near to you." This is emphasizing, re-saying what the prophet of Jeremiah said. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Scripture tells us again and again that if we go looking for God, he'll meet us there. He will help us see him. Now, this doesn't promise that we will never have times when it's hard to see God, that we'll never experience what some people have called dark nights of the soul, where it is just hard to find God's presence, even when we're trying. There will certainly be these times when it is just hard to find God. But these verses tell us that often we don't see God and what he's up to because we haven't stopped to look. I've shared before that I had a season where I was questioning if God really loved me. And so I prayed that God would show me that he really loves me. And then I started paying attention. And over the weeks and months that followed, I filled a page with dozens of experiences when I noticed that God was reminding me of his love for me. Selective attention. Before I was intentionally looking for ways God showed me he loved me, I was missing it. I had to start paying attention. When Moses paused to pay attention, God told him that he had been noticing the pain of the people of Israel all along, that he had not been absent, that he hadn't been ignoring his people, that he did in fact have a plan to end their suffering, to work justice, to free them from their oppressors. Verses 5 and following, we see God speak. "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. When Moses noticed the burning bush, when he paused to investigate, then God spoke. God showed Moses that he was up to something beyond Israel's wildest dreams. He was working on a plan for their freedom. And not only that, but he wanted Moses to lead the charge. Now, you'll notice if you keep reading that this is only the beginning of Moses' wrestling with what it meant to follow God's call on his life. And sometimes when we take the time to pause and listen to what God wants to say to us, what he says might scare us. That's probably why some of us avoid being quiet to pause and observe what God wants to say to us. But Moses' willingness to notice something unusual, his willingness to pause, his willingness to investigate, his willingness to listen, that is what led Moses to being the one to lead God's people out of bondage in Egypt and into the promised land of Canaan. Moses' willingness to pause and observe led to Pharaoh's eventual release of the people from Israel. Moses' willingness to pause and observe is what led to the defeat of Pharaoh at the Red Sea. His willingness to pause and observe is what eventually led to the provision of manna in the wilderness, the receiving of the Ten Commandments, the victory of Israel against all of those who tried to come against them in their journey, their eventual arrival in the land of Canaan, the establishment of the kingdom of Israel, and the establishment of a monarchy from which came Jesus himself, the Savior of the world. Moses' willingness to be on the lookout, to pause, to observe, to listen, that led to his participation in God's plan to save the world. Imagine if he had just kept walking. Imagine if he'd been so focused on his sheep that he missed the burning bush. Of course, God could have appeared again. God could have chosen another way. But God chose Moses. And Moses paused, listened, and obeyed. As we, come to the last few minutes of our time together this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to walk through an exercise that might help you to pause and listen and observe. As I've said, for many of us, summer is hectic, there's traveling, and then fall is coming, and I don't know anyone who would say, oh, fall is so easy and slow. It's a busy season. So we're going to take some time this morning to just look back and ask God to help us notice a burning bush he sent our way, and ask him what he wants us to do with that burning bush. Silence is kind of weird for some of us. We're going to sit in silence a few times here. It feels weird because we don't do it. So if you feel weird, you're in good company. But we're going to practice silence together. We're going to practice making space to pause and observe. So I'm going to take you through an exercise that'll take you through just a few steps here. And then in a few moments, we'll close and take communion and sing and be on our way. But let's take some time this morning to pause. So the first thing I'm going to have you do is just take the next minute, get comfortable in your chair, and take a few deep breaths in and out. You could maybe just breathe a quick prayer of, God, help me see. So take a moment now and just ready yourself. Take some deep breaths and prepare. Now I want you to choose some period of time. It could be just a few hours this morning, it could be the last 24 hours, or it could be the whole last week. And I want you to play through what happened in that time period in your mind, kind of watching it again like it's a movie going by. And as you do that, I want you to ask God to help you see any burning bush he put in your way. Ask God to help you notice anything unusual about that time period. Maybe you had a chance meeting with a friend at a coffee shop. Maybe you had an unexpected conversation with a neighbor or got an encouraging card in the mail. Maybe you got a hug just when you needed it. Maybe somebody came to your mind. So pause right now and let's look back through that time period and ask God to show you anything that he sent your way like a burning bush. If something's come to mind, go ahead and write that down. Maybe make a note in your phone, write it on your sermon outline notes. Just pause to notice and acknowledge that something came to mind when you asked God to show you if he'd sent something your way this week. Once you've captured that in writing, I want to invite you to hold that thing out to God. You could literally hold your paper out to God or your phone, wherever you've captured it. And just ask God then to show you, what does he want you to notice about that thing? Is there something he wants you to do with what you've noticed? Is there something he wants to tell you about what you've noticed? Is there an encouragement he wants you to share with someone? Is there an encouragement from God for you? Is there some kind of action God wants you to take? Just ask him, hold that thing out to God and ask what he wants you to do with it. And then write that down. And then in a moment, I'll pray to close our time together. God, we confess that it is easy for us to miss what we're not looking for. But we long to see you at work. We long to see what you are doing in our lives and the lives of those around us. We belong to you, and so we want to be a part of what you're doing in this world. And so will you help us to make it a regular practice to be looking for you, looking to hear what you might have to say to us. Help us have ears that hear you well, eyes that see well what you are up to. Help our selective attention to be focused on what you are up to. And then help us, God, to have courage with what we see when we pause and observe. Help us to surrender to what you're calling us toward so that we can be a part of your plan to save the world, your plan to make sure that all of creation is flourishing, to make sure that every person knows how loved they are by you. Help us listen to your voice and obey. In Jesus' name, amen.